I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What makes you, you? Okay, you know what you hope that is, but we're going to find out what it really is. But before we get to that, I want to play a game. You guys ready for a game?
Yeah.
Sunday morning game. Here we go. Take a look at all of these simple colored squares that we got up here. And what we're going to do here is I want to see if you can name all of the corresponding Disney characters, okay? Don't yell them out yet, but look down the line here and see if you can come up with who they are just based on these simple little squares here, okay? And then on three, we're going to shout our guests together. Are you guys ready? You need another second? This is just like first service. I looked out, and there's some looks of terror. Like, I just don't know. This is not, it's a game, wife. Games are fun. They're supposed to be fun. It's okay. Here we go. Here we go. Everybody locked in on the first one? Okay. Shout your guess in one, two, three.
Genie.
It's the genie. Eeyore. Oh, I can see a little, but no, it is the genie. The genie from Aladdin. Good job. Okay. Next one. Here we go. One, two, three.
Nemo.
Nemo. Good job. That one, yeah, I mean, you can tell. It's so interesting. Okay, next one. Now, really, again, there's some clues there. Look at how small it is. Ready? One, two, three.
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. That's right. Well, with the smallness in the squares. Yes, some people are very proud of themselves. Okay. This one should be easy here. We all know who this one is. Ready? One, two, three.
Mickey
Mouse. That's right. Now, this next one, I think, is my favorite because it just can't be more simple. It's just a yellow rectangle with a little red rectangle, and I bet you'll still all get it. One, two, three.
Noah.
How dare you? That's Winnie the Pooh. I like honey as much as the next man, but come on. No, yes, Winnie the Pooh. Isn't that amazing? That look at all it took was just a red stripe on a yellow, and we could just tell it's Winnie the Pooh. And then I get one more here, and it's not quite Disney. It's not Disney, but we all know him. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Waldo!
Waldo it is. Good job. And isn't that amazing? That is just crazy. Look at how easy it was to recognize, even though so little to go off of. So why did I bring it up? Because I wanted to play a game. I don't know. It just felt like it. No, here's the point. The point is that we are recognized by our consistent qualities. That's all you need. All you need are just those colors and sort of like the amount of each color. And you can just tell who it is, missing everything else, because these basic little things that define us, as long as they're consistent. I mean, do you think that we could find Waldo if he got contacts and wore a tuxedo? Do you think you could find him just as easy? No, because he looks more like Jim from The Office than he does Waldo anymore, right? So you just wouldn't even know how to find him. The whole stripes and spectacles thing is pretty much what makes him Waldo, is all those recognizable traits, which is why we can count on him wearing that same outfit and that it's going to stay the same whether he's at the circus or out in space. Either way, Waldo is Waldo, and he wears what he wears, right? It is his telling trait, right? It's the one thing that we just know it's Waldo when we see it, and everybody and everything has them. We all have these telling traits. However, in reality, our telling traits aren't physical. They're spiritual. Because whether you're Christian or secular, doesn't really matter. We all agree it is our beliefs and our behaviors that tell us who we truly are. That's what people recognize us by, because we are defined by the qualities of our character that stays the same during different situations. And since those immaterial attributes are inherently invisible, you can't see them, right? What is really weird is how we are wired to trust our perception of the character that we can't see over the physical presence of the one that we can see, right? Like, that's just so weird that we know that it's you in there apart from whatever we see. And we do this, though, all the time. And we prove it every single time we say things like, you're not acting like yourself. Well, I am me. How can you say that? No, you're not acting like the real you. Or we say things like, you feel distant. And you want to go, I'm right here. Well, how could I be distant? No, the real you feels like you're not here. Or when we say things like, hello, is anybody home? Because that's a real question. Is there that real you inside you? And with each comment that we make like that, we are confirming that we all really know the real you is something separate from what we see. We just know it. We all know it. Doesn't matter. And since that truth is both obvious and very mysterious, humans have been obsessed with creating studies and philosophies and even movies that explore this concept. In fact, I was looking it up. There's actually a list on IMDb of 158 body swap movies or body switching movies, like 13 Going on 30 or Freaky Friday or Big. All great movies, especially I went with the old Freaky Friday because we all know it's the best one, right? Agreed. And yet, in every single one of these movies that I've ever seen, the only way to sort things out is always finding some friend or family member who knows the swapped soul so well that the invisible character they recognize overrules the impossible appearance that they see. They're like, I know that's you in there somehow. And that just goes to prove outside perspectives can be good sources of inside information. People can actually really help us see. Others really do help us see ourselves. Because as scripture tells us, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice of others. Since the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, so you shouldn't trust it. And that begs the question, so who can understand it? Well, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. But don't forget, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And so we should be recognized as the same spirit. Amen? Well, let's do that. Because one way or another, no matter what it is right now, we are all recognized by something. There is something. You have some character traits hidden in your heart and mind that friends and family use to define you. Think about that for a second. So if you want to know that you are who you really thought you were, it would probably be very wise to hear them out. Find out which one of your qualities is so consistent that people could use it to recognize you in another body. You know, we got to ask this. Ask yourself, ask what could you be reduced to and still be recognized, right? What makes you you? What is that stuff? Is it your specific sense of humor that even if you're in another body, they'd go, that's you, Noah? Is it your uniquely sincere sympathy? Maybe it's your particular, you know, brand of passion or your distinctly different intellect. Whatever it is, there's something. And so I'm telling you, really, really stop and think about it and then investigate it. We're saying ask other people, really have that fellowship. Investigate it, because one of the most important questions that you can ask is, what are you known for? What is it for real? Because as Christians, we know what we should be known for because it's right there in our name. Christians, Christians, right? Our consistent quality should be Christ-likeness. That is what we are aiming for, because consistency is part of what makes his quality so recognizable. We have it right above the screen up here. It's the scripture that we put up there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Same thing, consistent. So follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us consistently, because that right there is his key quality. That's the key quality. But I fear, says Paul, your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ. But really, get this, it really is this simple. We're told, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone will know, everyone will recognize that you are my disciples if you love one another. Period. We should be known for our love. And Jesus showed us what we would look like if love was the consistent quality that defined us. That's what we should be looking like. Meanwhile, others, right now, others help us see what consistent quality currently does define us. But here's the good news. This is great. That's all you need. All you need are those 2 points right there, because with those 2 points, our life path just lights up in front of us. Because our whole purpose in life is just making our way from wherever we are at right now to where we should be. Whatever that is, whatever your character is to the character that you should be having. So the way that Jesus loves, when we get to know him, when we read about him, when we speak with him, the way Jesus loves becomes not only our goal, but our guiding light. That's it. We know where we're going. We know how to get there. Because every good and perfect gift is from above. We read this a couple weeks ago. It's from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change, like the shifting shadows. And I just love this picture. Don't you love this? It's so great. The light stays the same. He's just the master of creating these images. The light stays the same. But depending on where we are, that same light has different effects, right? And we know this. We've all told a scary story around a campfire and stuff, right? It has different effects. It can cast shadows that scare us, or it can shed light that surprises us. But one way or another, as we learn to appreciate all of the different dimensions that light has, the way that it interacts with us and illuminates stuff, what we come to realize is no matter where we are in relation to that light, there is one consistent quality behind all of it, and it becomes very clear, and it's this: light is revealing. It just helps you to see, and the more that we have, the better we can see who we are supposed to be. Well, this morning, all I'm telling you is this. It's really simple stuff that I just want to give you some stuff to really put it back in the front of your brain and make you see it maybe hopefully a little different way. Love works the exact same way. Love works the exact same way. And last week, Bruce's whole message on God's forgiveness showed us how big just one effect of his love is. That's just one angle of that light hitting us in that way. That's just what forgiveness is. Just one little piece. And look at what it does. It's incredible. But like light, the same love also manifests in a multitude of other ways, like giving and serving and listening and teaching and praying and sharing, and on it goes. There's so many different ways that it can manifest. And without those loving behaviors and beliefs that reveal our progress, things can get dark real fast. We need them. And this is our scripture that we're really going to look into today. This is what Paul's talking about. Listen to what Paul says. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all that I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. So you get the picture that he's painting there, right? He's saying words without love are meaningless. And he's saying wisdom without love is foolishness. And he's saying works without love are fruitless. Just renders them inert. So in short, life lived without love means you're not acting like yourself, because the real you was meant to live a life full of understanding and meaning and fruit, which means it is imperative to confirm that love is at the core of our character by consulting with outside observers. What are you seeing in me? Is that me? Am I there yet? And that brings us back to our need for fellowship and for relationship and for discipleship. We need those things in our lives to monitor what is manifesting in the eyes of others. What's in us that's coming out that they can see? Because love must be behind our words and our wisdom and our works if we want to be consistent. So if that's who you want to be, that's your quality that you want to be consistent, is that love, we got to put it across all those parts of our life. So here's our goal. We're going to ask people. Here's what I want you to ask people this week. After service, I was talking to people between service. They said, well, so are we really saying, you know, go ask people these things about ourselves? And I'm like, yeah. If you just spend time with people, they'll start telling you these things anyway. But what you're asking people is this. Do others see the love behind your speech? Can you see the love in my speech? Remember, words without love are meaningless. But words spoken in love leave a mark. Because words of love always lead to acts of love. Bar none, they always do. Otherwise, they are empty. They're hollow. That's what we say, empty words. There's nothing happening after them, which is why we get the scripture. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you just says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Yeah, I know. No good. Love gives our words meaning because love stirs us to action. It's just what it does. It's why you get up and go do stuff. It's because something in you, this love of something, makes you go do it. And then our action in turn gives our words power because talk is cheap. Talk is cheap when it's on its own, but it packs a punch if it is always associated with action. You know some of these people. It is a very telling trait. Following up and following through with what you say is called integrity. And it is a dimension of love that builds the kind of character consistency that is so easy to recognize. That invisible attribute stands out so well and separates us from the whole rest of the crowd like we're wearing Waldo's wardrobe. It is that unique. It's so funny. It doesn't seem like it should be that recognizable. Like, yeah, sure, lots of people. There's not a lot of integrity. If you really think about it, if you just do what you say, that is very recognizable. So let us not only love with words or speech, but with actions. And in truth, that is how we get that part of our character going. And then check in with others and ask them this second question. Do others see the love behind your beliefs? Remember, wisdom without love is foolishness, but wisdom built on love is edifying. It's so constructive, it's so good, because only love makes life make sense. This is one that I love banging this drum, because I tried to make sense of life without the love of the Lord, and it's just impossible. As much as we try to deny it, every explanation of existence without love just makes us sound stupid. We know that we all possess knowledge, but in the end, here's what you'll learn. Knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. And here's the thing. Loving God means knowing the love of God. And without his love to explain why we are here, we will turn to ourselves for an answer. And when we do that dumb thing, people see pride in our perception and holes in our argument. We are not doing a great job of explaining things without God's love. Because without love as our foundation, all of the science in the universe can't conceive of a single satisfying answer to the one question that we want more than anything else in the whole world. Why? Why? We work on the what and the when and the how a little bit, and science says, I got some answers. Ask them why. There's nothing there. I got a simple answer for you. Love. God's love is why we are here. We're told so simply. And when we build our beliefs on love, our answers aren't elaborate or extravagant and really difficult and held together with, you know, bubblegum and chicken wire where you try to make it make sense. They're just simple and succinct. And as this dimension of love manifests as humility, it keeps our character so uncomplicated, and it reduces what it takes to make us recognizable. Because when there's just one basis for everything that you believe, the consistency of your simplicity is all we need to know it's real love behind the wisdom of the real you. It's just so easy, and it's so freeing. I used to always have to be the answer guy, and I'd have to have these big explanations. And it's so great to go, oh, I don't know. I just know who knows. I just know the guy who knows, so I don't have to know anymore. And he's teaching me everything that he wants me to know. So who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let them show it by their good life and deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom, which is just that. I don't know. He does. It's great. It's wonderful. And it makes sense. And then thirdly, here's our last question. Check with others to see. Ask them, do others see the love behind your deeds? What you do? Because remember, works without love are fruitless. But love makes everything we do profitable for everyone involved, because loving feels good and it makes good. It's a win-win situation. Even though every single loving deed that you ever do means giving away like a piece of ourselves, it also means getting closer to the character of Christ. And godliness with contentment is great gain. It feels great. Everyone gets something out of it. And when what we do becomes a function of how we love, our deeds don't just identify us, they connect us. And then thereby they enrich us, because they unify us. And as each individual member joins the body of Christ, the riches of God's love are multiplied, not divided, which is just a crazy concept. It's one of those things that's hard for us to get our mind around, right? It's like more of us means less of God's love to go around, but that's not how it works. It's so great. More of us, the more love there is. You just get more of it. It just multiplies itself. And this is what Jesus came to prove. Jesus came to the earth, and he went to the cross to prove the power of what we do relies entirely on why we do it. It's the only reason why we get to do things, is to show what is behind it, to get that love moving in our hearts. And when God's love is the core quality of somebody's character, this broken world sees their deeds as unnatural and unforgettable. We're still talking about this Jesus guy thousands of years later. You get that? That separated him so much from every one of us. His big telling trait, the big thing that he did, is in every situation at all times, he loved us perfectly with God's love. And we went, well, I've never seen anything like that. Somebody who loves all the time. We can't stop talking about it. There's something supernatural about him, because that's not what we're like. And yet that's what we're supposed to be like. That's what we are called to. It's unforgettable. So now, if Christians do what we're supposed to, everyone ought to see something supernatural in our character, right? Because we're just trying to be like him. And our lives, our whole lives should feel just like one of those body swapping movies. Because it is, Paul literally says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? It's like your Tom Hanks going, no, there's a little boy that's inside me, only we're going, no, it's Jesus in me, not me, I promise, that's who's in me. And in our movie, our job is to reconnect Christ with everybody that he loves by using our lives to show them his character is living in our body. That's what we're doing. We're supposed to be consistently displaying Christ's defining love until his invisible qualities in us overrule our impossible appearance and they recognize Christ in us. They're like, is that you, Jesus? Are you in that Noah-shaped awful thing that you got there? I know you in there. And that part of our movie is so awesome. It's always the best part of all those movies, why we love them, right? Is when they're convincing someone, it's me, I'm in here, and they have to prove it to them, right? That's so the best part. Just like when Josh convinced, his best friend Billy that it was him in Tom Hanks' body, right? And he had to do the chimmy cocoa pop or whatever it was. You know, he had to do the thing to be like, no, it's me, look, here's my consistent quality. And when you finally get it, it's so unbelievably encouraging and relieving when somebody recognizes the real you. And it is, that's how it feels when someone recognizes Christ in your body. It is the best feeling because you know that the real you is starting to shine through. And I will never forget one of the first times that I ever got to feel it. It was so great because I had been a Christian for a few years and I was really working on my attitude. Again, I had a lot of pre-Christian years where I was not a great guy, but I was really working on it. I was like, okay, Lord, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna be a good guy. And I was working on keeping my attitude consistent because for a long time, hey, Noah, how's it going? Meh. You know, how you doing? Tired. Like, that was just kind of who I was. And then I was like, no, I'm great. How's you? How's you? I would say, how's you? And they would go, what's wrong with your speech? No, I'd say, I'd go, I'm doing great. How are you? And I was trying to be this bubbly, you know, positive, good guy. And one day, I was checking out at Safeway when the checker stopped and said, hey, is there any chance you could drive a customer up to O'Reilly's to buy a car battery? His car won't start, and I know you're a nice guy, so I thought I'd ask. And I went, you know I'm a nice guy? It's working! Like, I couldn't believe that I am. And you better believe. I was like, oh, I sure can. I know the nice guy at your service. Here I am doing nice things. That's me, the nice guy. And I was just, I was like, how did this even happen? Whatever she saw in our brief encounters was consistent enough to recognize the kindness of Christ, not me, because I'm not historically nice at Safeway. But they could, I'm just like, let's move it along. Oh, I picked the wrong line. Oh, the coupon lady, you know, whatever it was. I was just like, so by the time I get there, I'm like, yes, thank you, great, have a wonderful day. But I was trying so hard that it had been working enough that I was like, oh, I would love to. I won't pick my kids up from school, forget them. I'm gonna go do this nice thing. And I was so excited to be recognized as the nice guy that I probably scared the guy who I drove up to O'Reilly's because I just kept smiling and making small talk. And I'm like, yeah, I know, that's life for you. But isn't life great? I'm just so happy and great. And I was opening his doors everywhere we went. And I think I even offered to pay for his battery, at which point he probably went, I'm going to walk home, buddy, creeping him out a little bit. But I was just so happy about it. It was so great. It was such a wonderful, just edifying, you know, encouraging experience. Because the point is this, when Jesus is what makes you you, you get to live a life of love. And every encounter, if you're at the grocery store, or at the post office, whatever it is, wherever, however it goes, you just get to live this life of love. And it's great. It feels great and it makes things great. And only that life is full of meaning and understanding and so much good fruit. It just, you just get more and more in your life. So if that is your goal, if that is what you want, I'm telling you, you gotta this week go out and check in to see what others see in you. Really ask them. Spend time, again, they want to tell you. We do. We want to tell you what we see in each other. But go out and ask them, what do they see in you? And if it isn't consistently Christ, then really work on it. Watch your words and watch your wisdom and watch your works to make sure what people see is who you want to be. And then, you know, to paraphrase Paul, for heaven's sake, just keep it simple, stupid. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, boy, we sure do love you, and we know your love is the simple and consistent quality that sets us apart from this broken world. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide all of our words and our wisdom and our works so that everyone recognizes that it is you behind our character. And then, Lord Jesus, we praise you for proving there is no limit to what we can do when love is the reason why we do it. And to that, we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.